Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. In view of Mother's Day, this week's program is about having children and lots of them. And of course, we start off in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where God says to the first couple, "Be fruitful and multiply." And after the Noahic flood, God commanded Noah twice to be fruitful and multiply, chapter 9, verses 1 and 7. And when God commands mankind in these foundational principles laid down in the book of Genesis, there should be no question about our obedience. When God says jump, we ask how high on the way up. And it's not as if these commands are abrogated once the world population hits 1 million or 1 billion or 1 trillion. In ancient Rome, the empire was highly populated, but Paul would write to the church, 1 Timothy 5:14, "Therefore I want younger widows to get married, bear children, and keep house." I wonder where he came up with that idea, the Genesis command. Furthermore, throughout the scriptures, God's blessing was to have your descendants multiply. To Abraham, Genesis 22:17, "Indeed, I will greatly bless you and will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sands which are on the seashore." To Ishmael, "As for Ishmael, behold, I will bless him and I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly, and he shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation." To Rebekah, Genesis 24, they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "May you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." To Isaac, Genesis 26, "I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and will give your descendants to all of these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." And concerning all who are righteous, Psalm 107:38, "Also he blessed them, and they multiplied greatly, and he doesn't let their cattle decrease." Remember, God restored and blessed Job, and he was blessed by receiving twice as many children. And we all know Psalm 127:3. "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." True prosperity involves having children. But if God commands us to have children, and God says that blessing is having children, you can be sure the unsaved and the secular mind influenced by doctrines of demons will say, "Don't have children." And they'll say this with all sorts of false ideological social justifications. And this is where we're at today in secular America. The birth rate in America is below the replacement value. Just to replace the current population, it takes a fertility rate of 2.1. The current fertility rate in America is 1.67. And it's worse in Western Europe, which is about 1.46. The lowest fertility rate in a developed country is South Korea at 0.72. By 2100, South Korea will be half its current population. And China, with their one-child policy, has a fertility rate of 1.2. They recently dropped the one-child policy, but the culture has become such that couples still don't want to have children. The citizens of these countries and the citizens of America are destroying themselves by not having children. With all of the economic turmoil in China right now, with U.S. tariffs, with debt, with drought, with corruption, they have an even bigger problem. Their domestic market is aging. And older people are settled, and they tend not to be consumers. Because of shrinking demographics, China is facing a major economic downturn. And if you think about it, the CCP has been working a plan to make China rich and powerful. But why bother if there's no children? For what are they laboring? Why bother making China great again if the country will be no more in two centuries? And the scripture actually addresses this lunacy. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8, there was a certain man without a dependent, having neither son nor a brother, yet there was no end to all of his labors. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches, and he never asked, "And for whom am I laboring?" So why are these Chinese working 12 hours a day and 6 days a week when they plan to halve their population in one generation? And the U.S. is in a similar situation with a fertility rate of 1.6. And we don't even have a one-child policy. We volunteer not to have children. In 19th century America, the average fertility rate was 7 children per woman. And that was average. That meant that there were plenty of women having 10 to 12 children to make up for those who were unmarried and barren. And that made America great and prosperous. Given the availability of other necessities, a nation with a high fertility rate will become a great nation. I was just listening to an interview with Louise Perry, author of the book, The Case Against the Sexual Revolution. And she had a very significant article in the magazine, First Things, entitled Modernity's Self-Destruct Button. In other words, modern nations are hitting the self-destruct button by no longer having children. She points out that groups that hold to traditional values, such as the Orthodox Jews, the Amish, those homeschooling evangelical Christians, will prosper over time, but the urban, cosmopolitan, secular, career-focused people will not. They will decline, dissipate, and be no more. Psalm 37:10, you will look carefully for them, and they will not be there. But in the short term, that sounds counterintuitive, because dinks, double income and no kids, or those who have few children, appear to be wealthy leaders in society. But in the long term, the larger families succeed, take control, and leave a lasting legacy. The self-centered, those who go after materialism, their money, their housing, their vacations, their retirement, and they don't make the sacrifices to have children, well, Job 24:24, they're exalted for a little while, and then they're gone. Moreover, they're brought low, and like everything, they're gathered up. Even like the heads of grain, they're cut off. And this is simply Deuteronomy chapter 28, the curse that comes upon those who fail to observe all that God commands. Deuteronomy 28:18, cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Verse 43, the alien who's among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you will go down lower and lower. Verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Verse 62, then you shall be left few in number, whereas you were numerous as the stars of heaven, because you did not obey the Lord your God. Almost every problem America now has can be linked to a low birth rate, such as the offshoring of manufacturing because of a decreased workforce in the United States, illegal immigration. When a country is not having its own children, pressure comes upon it from foreigners to occupy the land. Yeah, that's what's happening in Europe right now. The birth rate in Europe is 1.46, But the birth rate in Muslim Arab countries on their border in the 1990s was 5 children per woman. Now, it's since declined to about 3, but this is why we see so many young Muslim men coming into Europe. Mexico did not allow for abortion until just a few years ago. The fertility rate in Mexico and in Central America throughout the 90s was about 6 children per woman. So that the average age in Mexico right now is under 30, the average age in America is over 40. That 10-year difference results in dramatic cultural differences. And as I've mentioned in the past, back in the 1980s, I remember one of my professors at Rutgers University saying that in 40 years, Mexico will overrun the United States. Because any country that has a high fertility rate always wins. Our national debt is also linked to a low fertility rate. With a higher fertility rate, the increased size in government would have been funded by a larger population. Crime, drugs, LGBTQ, transgenderism, abortion is all linked to a disrespect for God's command concerning the family. To marry, to stay married, and to have children. Instead, the people of America have gone after vain pursuits. Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Jeremiah 17:13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord. The curse that comes upon a people who forsake God and pursue pleasures and materialism is very real. But usually these people are so out of tune with God that they don't even see the curse. It happens slowly under the radar, like the proverbial, frog boiling in the pot. The drop in America's fertility rate is the biggest story, but nobody's willing to talk about it. And I suppose because secularists in America are too invested in their abortions and in their personal freedom, they don't even want to consider that they need to start getting married and have children. For them, that would be like The Handmaid's Tales, the series by Hulu, where children aren't considered a blessing from God. For pagan secularists in America, children means that the patriarchy is forcing women to have children and be slaves. But when the consequences begin to pile up for disobeying God's command to be fruitful and multiply, the people begin to blame all sorts of secondary sources. It's an economic problem. It's a healthcare problem. It's a government childcare problem. So that, the media starts talking about the debt crisis and the healthcare crisis and the immigration crisis and the inflation crisis. But really, we have a birth rate crisis. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 21. And they're enraged, and they'll curse their king and their God as they face upward. But they did it to themselves. All of America's problems could be solved if we just turned back to God and obeyed even the most basic godly principles. And it really gives new meaning to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things are going to be added to you. If we seek God, we get all of these things. But if we don't seek God, we get nothing. And we also lose God. Now, President Trump is very concerned about America's low birth rate, which will destroy America. Now, why is he concerned? I mean, how is it that of all the modern presidents, Trump recognizes this problem? Well, somewhere along the way in his church upbringing, he picked up on this Christian worldview. He has 5 children himself. Here's a story that hasn't made the headlines. Trump explores ways to resolve America's demographic crisis including $5,000 baby bonus for mothers. Quote, Trump aides are considering a range of proposals designed to encourage families to have more children. One idea involves reserving 30% of Fulbright scholarships for applicants who are married or have children. Another proposal would be to give American mothers a $5,000 payment following childbirth. A third proposal would fund programs to educate women on reproductive health and fertility awareness. Those ideas and others are emerging from a movement concerned with declining birth rates that has been gaining steam for years and now finally has allies in the U.S. administration, including Vice President J.D. Vance and Elon Musk. Policy experts and advocates for boosting the birth rate have been meeting with White House aides, sometimes handing over written proposals on ways to help or convince women to have more babies. Administration officials have not indicated what ideas, if any, they might ultimately embrace. But advocates express confidence that fertility issues will become a prominent piece of the agenda, noting that President Trump has called for a baby boom and pointing to the symbolic power of seeing Mr. Vance and other top officials attend public events with their children. America's demographic crisis is defined by falling birth rates, an aging population, and increased dependency on mass immigration to sustain the workforce and fill low-wage jobs. With the fertility rate at about 1.6, well below the replacement level, the native population is shrinking at an unprecedented scale. Unquote. Now, we know what bitter racial identity politic Marxists would say about all this, that this is racism, wanting to make America white by having children at home rather than replacing America with foreigners who are people of color. And yes, this is what these people actually believe, because they're deluded by their sinful rebellion. And therefore, they see the wrong problems and they come up with the wrong solutions. 2 Timothy chapter 3, because they are the haters of the good. Anyway, as far as those fixes that the administration is considering, none of them are going to work. It's been tried in South Korea, but it hasn't worked. The government of South Korea has given couples who have children cash, subsidized housing, free transportation, free health care, free IVF treatments, but it hasn't worked. The fertility rate in South Korea keeps on dropping. In an article by the BBC, Korean women explain why they're not having children, and it's the same reason why American women are not having children. The culture in the nation is that women are to go off to college and then work outside the home. And during the time when women are the most fertile, they're in college and they're starting their careers in business. Nobody was saying to these feminists in the 1960s, you're sending women to college, and when they graduate, they don't want to waste their degrees, so they start building their careers. They're out to get experience. They're out to pay back their college loans just at the time when they are biologically made to have children. It's a very short window. But it's said that if these women want children, what they need to do is both. Have children at the same time, work on building their resume. And it's pressuring women to do double the work, to do what men are made to do, and also to do what women are made to do. In fact, the real slavery being described in The Handmaid's Tale is the slavery brought on by feminism. In all of the testimonies of these Korean women, they say they need to work on their career. Their career doesn't allow them time to raise children. Korean work hours are notoriously long. They say that their work becomes their fulfillment. Once they get home, they only have time to clean house and do some exercises before bed. There's also pressure to study in their spare time. Koreans have the mindset that if you don't continually work on self-improvement, you're going to get left behind and become a failure. And this fear makes women work twice as hard. The fear that many women have is if they take time off to have a child, they may not be able to return to work. One 28-year-old woman who works in HR said that she had seen many women who were forced to leave their job or pass over for promotions after they took maternity leave, which has convinced her never to have a baby. The women are being presented with a trade-off: have a career or have a family. Increasingly, they're choosing a career, unquote the BBC. And why are they choosing a career over children and family? It's actually rooted in a spiritual problem. They're valuing materialism over bringing souls into this world. The root error of the entire culture is in valuing stuff. But in the end, they don't get children and they really don't get the stuff. You know, in China, the fertility rate is so low because women are expected to work in factories like men. The state is, in essence, using the women in the society as slave labor to produce products for foreign countries. Why? So the CCP can get foreign money into China so that in the mind of the Chinese leaders, they can become rich and powerful. Because in godless Marxist materialism, everything is about material possessions. It's greed. Like Esau, who sold his birthright, which was of true value, for a bowl of porridge. Now, it's not that women should not go to college and be educated. Women should be educated. We want women raising the next generation to be educated. But education can still happen with different priorities. American high schools have become so dumbed down that they are a waste of time. Everything learned in high school can be learned in 2 years, so that a four-year college degree can be earned and students can graduate at age 19. I mean, I started high school at age 13, and I graduated college at age 21, but even then, I wasted a lot of time. I know of many homeschoolers who take advantage of, you know, advanced placement classes, and they're done with college by age 19. Well, the point is this: if people have biblical values and priorities, all of these peripherals would take care of themselves. Fix the moral spiritual problem, have a people return to God, and all of these things will be added to them. Now, one of the explanations put forth for low birth rates is urbanization, the Industrial Revolution that stripped women of cottage industries. Their economic usefulness at home was taken away from them. Or one of the other explanations is that affluence causes people to stop having children. Once you're rich, you stop having children. And maybe that's true for the unsaved, because they're motivated by these pragmatic circumstances. When natural man is poor and natural man is living in a third world country, the only wealth is in children and people need cheap child labor to work the farms. Therefore, sociologists see having children as a pragmatic economic decision. And it's true that for the unsaved, they will have more children with certain incentives. Even the baby boom in the 1950s was influenced in part by social economic factors. Elon Musk is a humanist, and he has 14 children. In an interview, he recently said what keeps him up late at night is his concern over the very low birth rate in every country. Unless that changes, civilization will disappear. Humanity is dying. Well, that's kind of interesting, because until recently, most social leaders were kept awake at night with these unfounded fears of overpopulation. But regardless, even a secularist like Musk can see the bigger picture and realize the importance of children from an economic, national survival perspective. But the real, genuine motivation for having children, and the motivation that works, is a relationship with God. And the more Christian a culture becomes, the more children. It's no coincidence that Christian families have double, triple the average number of children. Just having a belief in the value of the soul and in heaven and in our mission to win souls for Christ motivates parents to have children for the glory of God. It motivates marriage. And procreation, the ability to create new people, is actually an amazing gift from God. Angels don't have that gift. So how can the Trump administration, the federal government, increase the birth rate in America? They cannot. It can only be done through the proclamation of God's truth. Hence, this program and many more programs like this are needed. It's only biblical truth that can change a culture for good. Now, in conclusion, when childbearing is discussed, it always results in guilt, because many have come to faith and obedience to Christ later in life, and it's too late to have children. And sin often produces divorce, and some singleness is due to sin. As I've always said, that my wife and I got started too late in having children. If I had to do it again, I would have prepared better so that I could have financially been able to marry earlier and have children earlier. But never reject or despise the word of God just because you weren't able to fulfill it. That's what many people do. If they've had an abortion, they can never accept the fact that God says abortion is evil, because that would make them feel guilty. And they put their egos above the standards of God. The godly Christian embraces the standards of God, supports and proclaims the standards of God, even though they may have in the past violated the standards of God. And they do this because they now stand in the grace and the forgiveness of Christ, who causes all things to work together for good, even our failures. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So the challenge I leave with you is the command of Christ: be fruitful and multiply. And also Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Thanks for listening. May Jesus Christ reign.